your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
As if Koberger's first two complaints weren't revealing enough, the harassment note and the mush on the tray saga, we then get his third letter. And this one takes the cake. Or rather, doesn't take the cake. Because Brian Koberger's problem was that items on his tray were missing. And he wanted replacements per policy. He literally cited nutrition standards like he was arguing a thesis. He positioned himself not as an inmate, but as an aggrieved customer demanding better service. If it weren't attached to the brutal reality of who he is, it would almost be a parody. The prison's response was blunt, almost dismissive. Disruptions like flooding happen, but J2 is generally calm and B block wouldn't be any better. That to his other complaint about being picked on, people calling names, water being flooded into his cell. And there was no response to the snacks. It was just the submission. So basically, sit down, shut up, and get used to it. But what fascinates me about this is what it says about his long game, or rather, his total lack of game. Koberger thought he'd be infamous yet, but infamous in a way that still held some twisted prestige. He imagined professors studying him, maybe even profiling him as being next to Bundy or BTK. What he's realizing now is that he doesn't have the charisma, the intelligence, or the social savvy of those killers. Horrible as they were, used to avoid detection, he's just as a husk facade, as Robin described, a movie set with nothing behind the walls. And that's what makes this so important. Because the letters don't just show a man whining about food. They show someone who still hasn't accepted reality, who still believes he can manipulate the system with words and formality. They reveal a mind of a psychopath who underestimated everyone and now finds himself out of moves. Robin Drake with us, former FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. When you look at these three letters together, the harassment complaint, the food grievance, the transfer request, what do they tell you about where Koberger is heading mentally? You know, in the Is this someone spiraling deeper into frustration or someone who still believes he can talk his way into a better outcome? Let's get into it. And here's another complaint letter. This is the third one that that we've seen now of Brian Koberger. Let's take a look at it. This one, and this is a harder one to read.
Yeah, but I like the response.
Yeah. As I continue the SPI phase, I love the term phase. Like, this is, it's just a step on your journey, Brian. Mm-hmm. I wish to discuss if I may be transferred to another ad seg, so another setting in the jail, in the B block. I'm going to try and read it this way because it's hard to see where they're not engaging any of the recent flooding striking. So that's, he's talking about people are flooding his cell by letting their water drip down, which is lovely. And being subject to minute by minute verbal threats and harassment in his unit. It's hard to read his writing. So basically he's asking if he could be moved to another block.
Right.
And immediately, I wish to speak with you soon, is how he ends it. The response is legible. Mr. Koberger, on any tier at MSI, there are sometimes disruptions to operations, such as residents flooding the J2, and it's relatively rare occurrence, and J2 is genuinely a fairly calm, quieter tier. I do not think B block would be any better for you. Give it some time. How do you think he's reacting to all of this and this reality?
Well, he's trying to escape.
Yeah.
He can't. He thinks the grass is going to be greener someplace else. Nope.
No.
He hasn't accepted the now.
Yeah.
And he's being destroyed. And it's not going to get better. He's going to be, until he accepts that, he's going to keep in the struggle. And it'll be really interesting because he's as we've seen, he's very OCD. He's very, mm-hmm. you know, intense on his way of liking to do things, and people keep disrupting it every single day. I've never in my entire life have I smiled at someone's misfortune or someone's discomfort. And I think we all are collectively together enjoying every minute of this horrendous shell of a human being tortured.
Yeah.
And I feel so horrendous as a human being on this planet thinking that, but mm-hmm. this is the only time in my entire life, and hopefully it will be the only one ever, because he so deserves everything he's getting right now. I'm so glad for it.
It really is. I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I'm like, this is insane that, like, I feel like joyful when I see these and I'm laughing, but it's like, well, he deserves it. I mean, the lack of humility, the lack of anything in this monster. It's like, well, that's sometimes the only way you can respond to monsters is by being a monster.
100% predictable.
Yeah.
You knew this was going to happen because of that arc of who he is.
Yeah.
And you hit it really well for everyone, you know, listening and watching us. I have, again, not a licensed clinician, and he hasn't been diagnosed this, but if anyone's ever looking and wondering what a pure psychopath looks like, mm-hmm. as we keep saying how empty he is, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the most extreme I've ever seen, because if you want to study him, don't study him. Study everyone he's studying, and then you'll understand him better.
Yeah.
Seriously, because that's the only thing you can do, because he is nothing without anyone else.
Yeah. I mean, and it's stunning just how monstrous this man can be. There was some warning signs, but at the end of the day, I don't fault anybody in any of their positions.
What are you
going to do? You can't do anything. I mean, there was the one professor who was writing to other professors saying, mark my words, literally, yes. Mark my words. If we give this guy a doctoral, if we give this guy what he wants, he will end up being an SA-er, and he will be. And look what happened. Obviously, that didn't quite happen. It got even worse. He murdered people, probably with the intent to do that. But what do you do? What do you do in a world where people like this exist? I mean, I've been in meetings with people. I've had employees. I've had all different stuff where you look back and go, yeah, that person's probably going to do this, you know, at some point in time. But without them doing anything, you can't do anything about it. You can't turn them in. we just wait. We just wait for them to strike, no matter how dark and disturbing it is or how dark and disturbing their actions are. If they're not crossing the line to illegal activity, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're so right. I had a few situations where we had a company or an individual's report on someone else having very similar behavior to this. Mm-hmm. And they came to us saying, hey, you need to do something, FBI. And I'm like, dude, tell me the law he broke.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't break a law, but here's all the red signs. They said, all I can do is this, fire him.
Yeah.
And don't hire him.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. And then all you can do is let the family know, here's what we're seeing. You got a problem and you better fix it, or get them counseling, get them something else, because legally there's zero you can do.
Yeah. Well, and legally,
all you can do is try to isolate them away from other people by not allowing in companies, it's not a shame on, because, you know, I get it, you know, universities, you know, but he should never have been allowed in that PhD program. Because one reason why all these higher things we do in life require recommendations and interviews is for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard. The hardest thing I used to have to do in the FBI was on a piece of paper, I had to articulate human behavior in order to get approval to do things.
Mm-hmm.
I got very adept at being able to state, hey, here's what I was able to achieve from going from point A to point B on someone's life arc of development, because during this discussion, we were able to discuss X, Y, and Z. This was part of my objective to get this kind of deeper conversation going, to get access to X, Y, and Z. And so I could articulate the developmental process of the emotional connection we were trying to make to move down a path of recruiting.
Sure.
That took a long time to try to figure out, how am I going to objectively, cognitively talk about human behavior, either good or bad, to get a dial moved with someone on a check. It's got a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's very challenging. So I don't fault anyone for it, but I had to do it for a long period of time and then try to train other people to objectively observe human behavior, so you could actually see red flags and make decisions that can sound very subjective because it's an opinion. It's that art form of taking subjective opinion and making it objectable actions when you're dealing with human behavior. Very challenging. So that's why I don't fault them, but this is why you have to put these things in place.
I don't think
don't
a lot of
hire people yeah. like this.
I don't think a lot of people see it, honestly. I mean, there's certain people that are aware. I mean, I know you and me would see. There's a lot of people that would and go, there's something wrong. There's something off here. Maybe I can't put my finger on it, but not the type of person I want. But I don't know that a lot of people are able to identify it. But even beyond that, even if you do identify it, don't hire the person to begin with. If they're already there, you know, it is easy to say, well, let's get rid of them. But there's so many protections out there for folks that are off. That, I mean, if you fire them for being off but never committing a crime, you're liable. You're firing someone because of their personality. But if it's not affecting the job, and that's the weird road that we go down in these sort of things with people like this.
And that's why it's really important at the onset of things. So we had a category, I don't remember what it is now. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, you had a category of your evaluation called professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And part of professionalism was your weight, your uniform, your haircut, your scores on the physical fitness test. I mean, there's a lot of very... So professionalism can be a subjective word, but you when actually made it actionable and objective by these measures, mm-hmm. it could be scored. It could
sure.
be measured. And so anytime that I had to counsel someone on something, like one of my Marines, this goes way back when for me,
yeah.
I actually had to articulate, all right, here's the standard at GO. The standard is you must maintain a professional relationship with your recruits, with other drill instructors, with officers and all these things. And so what would happen is if I saw behavior that could be subjectively deemed inappropriate, say I heard someone making a comment, mm-hmm. an inappropriate comment towards another drill instructor, male or female, my job was then to, hey, Staff Sergeant, come over here. Here's what I observed. And I write down this. This is an unacceptable behavior of that comment that I observed you making firsthand, not hearsay. And I'm deeming this unprofessional. I'm writing it down on this piece of paper. I need you to sign this as well. And you acknowledge that this is unacceptable behavior for professionalism when regarding other Marines. Now, here's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have identified this. you now know the behavior to avoid. If I don't see this behavior again in the next 4 weeks, I'm going to hand you this paper back and it's all yours. No harm, no foul. Now, if I do see a behavior that mirrors or is exactly like that, where it's going to be a different conversation, now we're going to talk about moving you out and moving you on.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how leadership has to take the energy and bandwidth to articulate behaviors that are red flags,
mm-hmm.
address them according to a standard that's been set at the very beginning, and not be afraid. And it's not confrontational conversations. It's a conversation about their behavior and how their behavior is incongruent with the standard that we set.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that early on, you get into problems like this.
Yeah. Seems like we used to have a lot more of that going on. Where standards.
It takes courage.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes courage. It takes having standards. And I don't know if it's just lack of standards or what it is, or lack of reps in people, you know, facing icky situations that make them uncomfortable. With a leadership, look, if you're in leadership, you're going to be in uncomfortable situations. That's why you're the leader. It's part of the job. But I feel so many times we see leaders that, you know, they, and you want to lead by example. You don't necessarily need to lead by fear, but sometimes if you have someone out there that's this out there that you're literally saying, I think he's going to SA somebody, I would think there's some actionable options that might be on the table for you. It looks like they were, obviously they did explore it. They did get rid of him. So things did take place. Things did go down, but he was able to go down a path for quite a while. I mean, everybody could see it. His parents, you know, could see he was off. His friends saw it. I mean, this guy just, he was a little tornado that went through life and was able to go as far as he did. And there's, I don't know, there feels like there's so many folks out there like this that just seem like they're one step away from being a Koberger. Thankfully, we don't see it that frequently, but I feel like we live in a world where there's so much protection on not offending someone for their behavior, for their choices, that it's just kind of a free-for-all in so many ways. And people don't necessarily end up killing, you know, others, but they make life a living hell for others who are just trying to do their jobs and get through life. And we don't do a whole lot to kick them to the curb and go. Just go figure something else out that's more in your wheelhouse, because this is not.
Yeah, you know, and I think the challenge that people will have with this, because again, I'm going to give the people around him a lot of credit for being very kind people.
Yeah.
They were very kind to him. And because the reason why this is a challenge is because people think these are challenging conversations, or I'm going to be an ass, or mm-hmm. I'm going to have to be the hammer. No. All you're doing is making observations on their behavior.
Yeah.
And all you're doing is letting this is how we have behavior conversations. Because if you're giving an opinion, here's the difference, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Koberger, I think what you said is inappropriate. That's an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We can argue back and forth, as opposed to Koberger, here's the behavior you just said. Here's what you just did. Here's how that is incongruent with what the standard is. Here's what the effect this statement had on the people around you. And that is not professional in the workplace. And so here's your choice. Here's your choices. You can stop that behavior now and it'll be written off and we'll keep a file over here. Or if you continue that behavior, here's the consequence of this. It's completely up to you.
Yeah.
This is not my opinion. This is your behavior and the cause and effect of what you're doing according to this standard that's been set down by the university.
Yeah. You're eliminating the other human aspect that they can argue with and say,
there's no argue.
That's your opinion. Like, it's not my opinion. This is how this is deviating.
Yes.
And it's black and white.
This is how.
Yeah.
And I apologize, because that's how I had to learn how to have behavior conversations, mm-hmm. where it wasn't an opinion,
mm-hmm.
it's an observation. And when observations are observed by multiple people and they have an effect on those individuals, well, that becomes a trend. That becomes an arc of your behavior and the impact on others. And so now it just comes down to, that is incongruent with what we expect in this workplace. You can make a choice about what you want to do about it. And I'm here to tell you the cause and effect of your choices.
Mm-hmm. And that's the paradox of Brian Koberger in prison. For all his formal writing, for all his attempts to couch his complaints in the language of rules and regulations, the system isn't listening. It's logging, stamping, and moving on. Meanwhile, the inmates are reading him like a book and tormenting him for sport. Good job, guys. Robin's breakdown reminds us that Koberger isn't the brilliant mastermind some wanted to paint him as. He's a profoundly empty figure. His entire persona is a collage of traits borrowed from others, cobbled together from textbooks, documentaries, and case studies. But the substance, the inner life, the ability to adapt and survive, it isn't there. He's hollow. And prison is exposing that hollowness in ways that no courtroom ever could. What's most unsettling is how many people saw pieces of this long before he ever killed. Professors warned about his instability. Students picked up on his arrogance and lack of social awareness. Friends, family, everyone had glimpses of the tornado forming, but without an actual crime to act on, those red flags never translated into an intervention. And so here we are, dissecting his complaints about cafeteria trays, while four young people are still gone forever. Maybe that's why there's a strange satisfaction in watching him flail. It doesn't erase the grief, and it doesn't bring justice in the truest sense. But it does strip away the myth of his intelligence, the illusion of his superiority, and it reminds us that in the end, Brian Koberger is not a case study in brilliance. He's a case study in failure. Failure to adapt, failure to manipulate, failure to become anything more than what he is, a mass murderer with no power, no credibility, and no way out. And that's the final note here. Koberger thought prison would be his laboratory, his stage, his twisted continuation of the academic life he lost. Instead, it's his undoing. The letters will keep coming and we'll keep reading them. The complaints will pile up and the torment from inmates will only grow louder. But nothing will change. He is and always will be just another prisoner, stripped of the very control he once killed to prove he had. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You can also search us wherever you get podcasts and find us there as well. Press subscribe, please, so you don't miss any of our coverage in this and the many cases we follow for you here at the Hidden Killers podcast from True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home. Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.